Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules.
We're a conversational podcast about various topics like mom life, relationships, body positivity, and what's trending.
We are women supporting women through chit-chat and laughs.
We promise to be candid, relatable, and best of all, we're not afraid to laugh at ourselves.
So thanks for joining us. Enjoy. Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. I'm Nicole, the admin for the Enraged Women, and joining me again is Shiva from Shiva Designs. Hey, Shiva.
Hello, good morning.
So thank you for having me at your lovely home again.
Of course, anytime. Always welcome.
Yes, we've had you on a couple times and you're a favorite. Thanks for always contributing to the podcast. It's a lot of fun to have you on. Let's start off by saying the lipsticks we're wearing.
Well, I have my go-to Burt's Bees lip balm.
Okay.
It's the Watermelon Lip Shimmer.
Okay, I love it.
Thank you.
It looks very bright and very pink. I like it. I might have to get it.
Yeah, it's just like a lightly tinted lip balm that just, you know, when the air is dry, it just really makes it very comfortable and...
Yeah, moisturizes. It'll be dry.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
It lasts a long time, too.
That's really good. And then, if I remember correctly, I don't have it with me, but I have this bright red lipstick. It's color. Thank you. It's ColourPop Ariba, I think is the name, like the Spanish word Ariba. So it's like kind of like the siren red, and I really think it's pretty. So I don't have any other makeup other than this red lipstick. Yeah, and I just walk around with my sunglasses and my lipstick, and I'm fine.
Oh, you're totally fine.
Oh, thank you. So I'm so glad that you're safe here. You know you live, because there's right now in SoCal, there's lots of fires.
Oh yeah.
In the LA area, so it's not fun to be evacuated or worry about.
No, and actually I had to evacuate a few days ago, and luckily I got to stay with my mom, which ironically, where she lives, she had to be evacuated a few couple weeks ago herself.
So you took turns.
Yeah, we took turns. But the part that was really hard was, well, the thing is, we knew there was fires, we knew that at some point we might get evacuated, but the part that was hard was just trying to figure out what of your life do you want to gather with you before you leave. And you have to just like think instantly about what's the most important thing. Obviously, your family. But, you know, there's some stuff that is irreplaceable that you just want to have. And, you know, it's not like you...
Photos.
Yeah, photos. And it's not like they're in one place. So you have to gather them, and or they're in frames, and then you end up being bulky, and then you're wondering, okay, do I really need all this bulky stuff?
Yes.
And so you have a crossroads in your mind, and you're always wondering, you know, what's more important, what's more valuable. But in the end, you know, I found a couple of things that we needed, at least our important papers, some valuable things that are irreplaceable, like really valuable things, and then ourselves.
Oh, perfect. And your pets.
And our pets, of course, yes. Yeah. We had, you know, we took Oreo, which is our cat. He's like a black and white tuxedo cat. By the way, he has his own Instagram, Oreo_Pichy.
Oh, yes, definitely.
If you ever
want
to check him out.
I love those.
Yeah, so he has his own little antics. But yeah, he was with us, and I was wondering if my parents would be comfortable with him there, but... My mom, she's fine. She loves him. My dad, he loves him too, but he's always having like some kind of a weird phobia. Not phobia, but he just acts resistant.
Yes.
But then he surprised me. He's almost like wondering, you know, oh, did he eat? Is he okay?
So that's sweet.
It was actually nice.
Yeah.
And he kind of had free reign at their house too.
He warmed up to Oreo. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a really well-mannered cat. So I've been in homes where there's a cat that's really... you know, catty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I've been actually attacked by a cat in somebody's house, and it wasn't fun. So okay. I'm very, like, careful. But with Oreo, he's fine.
Well, Oreo, you know? To me, is like, he's just like another person living here.
Mm-hmm.
He's a male cat that has been neutered. He's a rescue. And he's about, like, 2 years old. And so he's totally chill and calm and kind of minds his own. And even if he goes somewhere where I think he's going to knock something over, he's so, like, eloquent as he walks through. He doesn't even touch it, even if it's, like, 1 inch
that he
has to squeeze through. So,
yeah,
he's totally, like, you don't even remember that you have a cat sometimes.
Oh, good. Very low maintenance. Good.
Yeah.
Very good. He's so cute. Well, this episode, I think, because with Halloween coming up, I wanted to do more of, like, a... I don't know if paranormal's the word or esoteric.
A little bit more like esoteric.
Yeah, type episode where we talk about, you know, the unknown and what we think we know.
Mysteries.
And mysteries and stuff. So that's always fun. And we could do this more often because I don't know that we'll be able to get it all in one episode. So we'll just talk about, like, I wanted to start off with what I thought was interesting being the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
And if people believe in that, I wanted to maybe explore the beliefs of the listeners and as well as myself. I know I was raised very religious. I'm not religious now. Yes. So I have a little bit of perspective, but I was always curious about, like, you know, people with psychic abilities or what's out there in the universe,
yes,
you know, what we can't see. Because there's, yes, a whole science behind, you know, things,
oh, yeah,
that we don't know. And I always live by the phrase, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
So, might as well be open to everything. I do take some of it with a grain of salt.
Of course.
With, you know, you can't get too fixated on a certain theory or some, mm-hmm, specific person that's talking about something. So you just have to be open-minded. So, mm-hmm, I wanted to talk with you because you're the best person I know. you have a Facebook group kind of dedicated to that,
yes,
type of stuff.
I have a page called Mysterious Universe Anomalies. And there's also a related group for that. That also we have discussions. But I mostly post on my main page and have almost 1,800 followers. Happy to have more to definitely,
yeah,
tell your friends.
Okay.
And I also have Instagram under the same name and Twitter, which I couldn't fit the whole name. So it's MUA, like MU Anomalies.
Okay.
Awesome. On Twitter. And so, like, I basically post pretty much the same stuff on all of them, but not exactly. I post mostly on the main page.
Okay.
And what I'm just basically a curious mind of wonder. I just think about a lot of things,
mm-hmm,
that are seemingly unrelated, but overall, you know, within the universe,
mm-hmm,
and possibly beyond, because we don't really know.
Right.
So basically what happened was, I was always curious. I always wanted somebody to talk to. But, you know, in this type of topic, you don't always find people you,
right,
can talk to. Or even if you do, you don't want to, like, tire them down or anything. So I thought my outlet can be whenever I find something interesting, I'll just post it. And,
uh-huh,
as a result, I can also have, like, a curated list, if you will,
mm-hmm,
of everything that I've researched over time in one place. And periodically, when people visit my page, they can pick whatever they want to talk about,
okay,
with me, and I'm very happy to have a dialogue.
Yes.
So, you know, I kind of got started. I've always been curious. Like, as a kid, I loved space and planets, and my,
mm-hmm,
favorite planet was Saturn.
Oh,
so I
mine
used,
too.
Yeah, so I used to always, like, draw pictures of it, and in school we had, like, when I was in fifth grade, we had to do a project where we made, like, a robot and stuff, and so we had to write a small little story about it.
Okay.
And I made my robot come from Saturn. I mean,
okay.
At that time I didn't know it was a gas giant, you know, that there's no land on it, but now that you know, there's moons.
Yeah,
and
we learn something every day.
And then later on, you know, I've loved, when I saw the movie Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor, I got really excited about ancient Egyptian stuff.
Okay.
And just Cleopatra herself and, like, King Tut and the mask. I thought the beautiful colors and the jewels and the ancient stuff, you know. And then branching off to, you know, ancient Greece and Rome with the columns, which kind of got me into the architecture aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things were mystery, and I always wanted to like go back in time and see how people lived mm-hmm. in those times. Pompeii was very intriguing. So I have a lot of discussions about ancient archaeology. Then as I got a little bit older, when I got introduced to Eric von Daniken on Ancient Aliens, okay. there was a show on History Channel that I used to watch, and it was called Ancient Aliens. Well, I mean, it is called Ancient Aliens, but before Ancient Aliens became a phenomenon that it is today, which I'm sure you've heard of it, there was a documentary for like, it was like a 2-hour documentary before the show ever even came to existence called Ancient Aliens, or Chariots of the Gods, actually.
Oh, okay. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's called Chariots of the Gods. And it's like an old documentary. Eric von Daniken is an author from Austria, which he wrote a book talking about the mysteries about the ancient world. He grew up Catholic, but he always asked questions about religion and, you know, what were these stories? They could be aliens. You know, the gods that they're talking about can be, you know, flesh and bone entities that ancient people misinterpreted.
Yes.
So when I heard that, I was like, wow, that totally changed my perspective on all those ancient stuff that I was into before. Sorry, if you hear a little bit of noise, my daughter had to stay home from school today because of all the fires. Yeah. And even though I explained to her that we're recording, you know, when you're 5 years old, you don't really get it.
So
if you hear noise.
She's doing lots of nice background music for us.
Yes.
That's no problem.
Yes.
But I think that's so interesting relating to like our existence and how things, come to be in the way we believe things now. A lot of people in modern days just maybe goes back to religion, and religion is, I think, good, and I think it helps people in their, you know, life feel like they have some semblance of control over what's going on. But, you know, I'm not a complete atheist. However, I feel like religion is a social construct, you know.
Well, you know, I actually for a while identified as atheist because there has been a lot of things that I have seen and heard that didn't let me accept the aspect of becoming religious. And plus growing up, you know, I didn't grow up your traditional like Christian family. Like my family is from Iran. I'm Persian. Mm-hmm. And in 1979, the revolution happened. And it was basically, you know, it was a secular country until the Islamic regime took over and forced people to wear hijabs and, you know, forced them to do different things and under religious rules. Although the difference, just so you know, the difference in the religion in Iran is different from the other Muslim because there's two factions. There's Sunni and Shia. And Shia is the Iranian Muslim mm-hmm. religion. And there's a whole history of that I'm not going to get into, but maybe another story.
Oh, yeah.
I still have to research that one a little bit, but there is a divide among Muslims themselves too.
Okay.
So anyways, my family, we basically identify as Muslim, but we're not religious.
Okay.
We're more of a secular family, as is most Iranians. Although the media will have you show that everybody is like that one way, but they only show that biased view.
Sure.
I've been to Iran a couple times and obviously I'm from there, even though I don't live there, but all my family and friends are from there. Most of my family and friends are from there, and mm-hmm. I know what it is firsthand.
Yes.
And it's not what the media shows.
Oh,
the media
definitely.
Twists so much. Don't ever believe anything that comes out of the media. Do your own research.
Yes.
Because they all have their
and
own
bias.
Even go
bias. To the place. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, same difference with me and my background with, you know, Caribbeans or Africans. It's like, not everybody is in a tribe killing each other.
Right.
You know, there are cities in Africa that are very prosperous and successful and gorgeous.
The media, if they want you to know, they just think there's a bunch of tribal people just kind of hanging out and, you know, attacking each other.
Yeah.
And that's totally not the case.
Exactly. That takes over. It's all to, you know, make a certain country, you know, look better.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like that's somehow related relates to religion, because religion does the same thing.
Yes.
But, you know, I think that also, like, when I'm thinking about spirituality or, you know, existence outside of, you know, Earth, you know, wherever it is in the universe, I try to separate myself from my religious background,
mm-hmm.
because that gives color to what I'm going to be thinking. And I can't think that way.
I like to say that the universe doesn't make mistakes. And no matter what we're going through, even if you think it's the most horrendous thing, it's something that is I don't want to say required, but maybe it is required for us to go through to develop our life and personalities. Like, a lot of times on Facebook, there's a thing where it's like, can you erase your memory? Like, if somebody gave you the opportunity to erase your past or make new changes, would you do it? I always say no, even mm-hmm. if I had a bad time, because it's what made me who I am.
Yes.
You should never be, you should always accept who you are from your past, but just not let it define you, because you always have the right now to be whoever you want to be, however you want to be.
Right.
You know, you always have right now.
Yeah.
The past is in the past. The future is an illusion. You always mm-hmm. have right now.
Yes, and you only have
right now. You only have right now, exactly.
That resonated with me, what you just said, because as I've mentioned, I am going through a divorce, and although it's pretty easy, it's not easy, but it's pretty smooth with, you know, my ex-husband and I, we get along well, and we're still, you know, friendly, but that divorce is hard, and for anyone that's gone through that, it is, you know, life changing.
Oh, yeah.
So I noticed that if I had to choose to not go through that or to not have gotten married at all, I wouldn't have done that, because now I have my beautiful daughter. Yeah. Now I have a better perspective on love and life mm-hmm. and myself,
mm-hmm.
what I need and want. And I'm also a lot kinder. Mm-hmm. I notice I'm more patient with people,
mm-hmm.
even though you could choose, in my situation, you could choose to become bitter
yeah.
or angry. But I just decided, no, that's not going to be my spirit.
What you stumbled upon without knowing it is you decided to raise your vibration. Because all of those feelings of sorrow, guilt, some burden is a low vibrational frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times if there's a scale called the Hawkins scale, and it's basically, it looks like a parabola. It's like a rainbow that shows you the different levels, and there's different percentages that it starts from, you know, very negative feeling, and it goes all the way to the top to the ultimate positive, you know, consciousness.
Okay.
And it's a consciousness scale, actually, but everybody, you know, vibrates on a different frequency, and you can kind of sense it. I mean, this is something that isn't talked about because they believe it's pseudoscience. Many people mm-hmm. say it's pseudoscience, but you cannot let go of the vibes that you feel when you enter a certain space, talk to a certain individual or anything in your environment.
Yes.
You just know. And I feel like what society wants to do is to have us suppress it. But what I'm here to do, at least I'm trying to, is to show people that you have a lot more power than they're giving you credit for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the ancient knew this, and they're trying to suppress that history, and they bury that history and information with a bunch of arbitrary stuff that doesn't really matter to us.
Yeah,
you know, the ancients knew a lot of things. You know, from like a lot of ancient artifacts that people find, everything ends up, the mainstream archaeologists, they always say, oh, this was a ritual object, or this is a tomb. No, not all of it was. Mm-hmm. They were probably sacred tools. You know, maybe you want to call it like a placebo effect, maybe not. But, you know, certain stuff were used to help raise consciousness of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you don't even need a lot of tools, actually, if that even makes sense. That might even contradict what I just said, but what I wanted to point out was what history is taught in schools is not what the reality is.
Mm-hmm.
They go on the surface. Yes, maybe stuff is reality, but it's not the important reality, I believe.
I believe that's true.
You know, so when I say raise your vibrations, you know, I really ask everybody to Google Hawkins scale, and maybe later I'll post it on the page, mm-hmm. the actual scale. I may have posted it before. And basically you have to make an effort on your own, because nobody else can save you, only yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'll get into that more detail later. But in general, you make a conscious decision, or you set your intention that you're not going to let things, you know, bring you down. And that mm-hmm. bring you down phrase actually is related to your frequency.
Yes.
You don't want your frequency to go down. You want to stay up to ultimate consciousness.
Okay.
And it takes work, and it takes a little spiraling. You know, spiral is normal. You know, you come back to stuff that you thought you conquered, mm-hmm. and you see it in a different perspective. You go down, you know, that's life. I mean, there's ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But if you're, even in trends, if there's ups and downs, but if there's a, if overall, if you look at a graph and it's gradually going up, then you're still making progress.
Yes.
And as long as you don't lose that conscious effort that you are willing to make for your own peace and for your own tranquility, and not let anything, you know, get you to those lower levels. Always okay. raise your vibration. That's just my rule of thumb.
And then I noticed, I read a few years ago, and I always try to reread it, that book called The Secret.
Oh, yeah.
And it has some good things in it where it's all about the law of attraction. So if you've raised your vibration and your consciousness to a level where you can't get affected by the despair of the world, mm-hmm. I like to say, although you'll have your moments, of course.
Yes.
You'll have bad days. But if you will attract people that are similar, mm-hmm. situations that are more beneficial to you, you know, opportunities you'll see come to you with more greater ease.
Right.
And you won't be stuck in this, you know, this fog of uncomfortability, you know?
Well, I think The Secret is a really good starting point for people to enter this way of thinking. I think the way that they marketed it kind of made some people think that, oh, if I just wish it, it'll come.
Oh.
That's true in a way, but there's a little bit more to it.
Yes.
And, you know, they probably do touch base on that. I haven't watched their documentary recently. I haven't read their book, but I haven't watched their documentary recently. But I did watch it once, hearing what they say. And it is very inspiring. And everybody should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, when they say, you know, when you think about The Secret and about, you know, you just wish it into life, it's partially true. What they're basically saying is your subconscious is always listening. So feed your subconscious with things that you want your life to be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your, I guess, brain cells
mm-hmm.
for things that don't serve you.
Right.
You know, sometimes, yes, that sounds very idealistic, because sometimes, you know, people have to be in certain situations. You know, you have to put food on the table, you have to do a job, even if it's a job that you don't like, but in the time being you have to do it. But it's your perspective on the things that you have to do, the things that you can't control, mm-hmm. is how you gain.
Okay.
You know, don't yes. focus on the negative aspect of, oh, I have to, I can't, I do. You have to say, what is this teaching me?
Yes.
You know, how am I going to, you know, look at it in the way that benefits you, as yes. opposed to the way that you
look
become
at the
a
outcome.
Victim.
Yes.
Don't ever see yourself as a victim, because that means you're giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And usually if it's very easy to just, you know, give up and just be lazy, or I mean, lazy is a harsh word, but to just kind of let it go in a way that, you know, sorry,
yeah, it's fine.
I'm trying to think of like
that the
most eloquent way.
Productive or...
Yeah, you just basically, I think I said it several times, just look at it in the, change your perspective in the way that, how is this thing benefiting me?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like if you meet a person like at the store that's so bitter and rude or whatever, don't ever take it personally. That mm-hmm. person's going through some stuff that they need time to come over. And even if they talk harshly to you, it's not about you.
No.
You know, if you have arguments with your family or certain friends or some random person, it's always what stuff that they're going through, and it's never about you. Yes. They're projecting.
And if anything, feel relief that you're not in that situation that they're in.
Yeah. And, you know, and everybody walks their own life path. And maybe they haven't gotten to that point where they realize that they can change their perspective, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't change the person. Like, let's say you are at this point where you know how things are and you see that miserable person and you mm-hmm. want to help them. You can help them by planting seeds, but you can't change them. You can't force them. Everybody does it on their own time.
And how exhausting is it to try to change someone?
Right. You shouldn't. You yeah. shouldn't. I mean, just think of yourself. If somebody's telling you how to be, like, the first thing you're going to do, instead of seeing what the value of what they're saying is, you're just going to resist.
Yes.
That's just our instincts.
Yes, I agree. So with all this said, going back to,
yes.
you know, beliefs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I must ask, because Halloween is coming.
Yes, of course.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Okay. Well, when I was growing up, I didn't know anything, and everybody was saying no such thing as ghosts. And then sometimes it was fun to believe in the whole ghost thing. But as I've grown up and, you know, learning different things spiritually and stuff that I know, I realize that ghosts are not really what you think they are. Mm-hmm. I believe that they can be interdimensional beings, which is kind of like, I guess, what you can say a ghost is, but not your traditional way. I think the way that the traditional ghost is, for lack of a better word, marketed, mm-hmm. is kind of based on religious attributes as opposed to spiritual attributes. I believe that there's different frequencies, and there's that word again. I like to say that a lot, yeah, because it makes sense. Word. There's different frequencies and different dimensions within that occupy the same space that we are living in. You know, and this is studied in physics. I think it's called quantum physics.
Okay. Wow.
And if you ever researched the scientist Michio Kaku, he talks about string theory and all of these kinds of weird science mm-hmm. stories. And so there's quantum mechanics theory. He's a theoretical physicist, basically.
Okay.
And basically they what I've heard them say is that you could be sitting in your living room, but occupying the same space, but on a different frequency, there could be a herd of dinosaurs running mm-hmm. through, and you will never know because
right, you're on a different plane.
You're in a different plane or a different frequency.
Okay.
Yeah. Frequency. When you say plane, I guess that makes sense too.
Okay.
When you say plane, that's more on a spiritual level, and then on a more scientific level, it's frequency.
Okay.
But in the end, it's kind of all the same thing, but just a different name to appeal to different
sure.
groups.
Okay.
And, you know, if a scientist or somebody who studied science is listening to this, they're going to probably think, oh, that's hogwash. Yeah. But you got to give it a little bit of time, because there's so many mysteries that open up to us when you're willing to look for it.
Yes. And yeah. why not? I mean, don't scare yourself, yeah. but, you know, it's all very interesting.
So what I wanted to say on top of that is when you're seeing, quote, ghosts, that's interdimensional beings that probably, you know, different parts of the world, there's different energy points. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and it's not like you're in one static place. Everything's always fluctuating. Mm-hmm. And maybe during certain periods of times, there's more fluctuations and less fluctuations. There's probably the moon has an effect, possibly. And, okay. or maybe something that your body is going through, you know, you might be certain time of the month that you are going through different vibrations. You have the veil gets lifted,
okay.
for lack of a better word. So
yes.
you end up
I'm glad you said that. I was going to mention that.
Yeah, you end up seeing things that you normally don't see. You know, maybe you have an altered state, maybe, you know, something that helps for temporary lifting veil is, you know, stuff like mushrooms
and I see.
Those things like psilocybin.
Peyote.
Yeah. You know, where you get to see those entities that you normally don't see. Ayahuasca tea. Graham Hancock has a lot of information on that. If you ever Google him, he's a really good author that talked about so many interesting things.
So cool.
Alternate history timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you mentioned peyote. I'm not too familiar with that substance, and I haven't tried any of these substances. Just so you know, the only thing that I've ever tried was marijuana when it became legal, and even the first time that I took that. You feel like you can see colors.
Yes.
I mean, you can hear colors. Actually, I took a little bit more than I should have at one point, and I thought I could hear my neighbors talking like two houses down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get to that point where you're like, what's going on?
That experience, yeah.
Or you hear subliminal messages more clearly from kids' cartoons, which that's a whole nother story. That's a little disturbing.
Yeah.
That I won't talk about now. And so
it's like a state where when you're high on that, everything you think is true.
Yeah. And
so
I think
let's be careful.
That whole veil lifting, you know, has to do with the way the chemicals in your brain interact with each other. You know, the way that your neurons fire more actively gives you more information because we have been taught that we don't have the ability to see, but we all do.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't most of us can't because we have been told that we can't.
Yes.
But if you ever take the time to meditate, literally meditate, mm-hmm. like give yourself a time where, and it takes practice. You can't get.
It feels funny at first.
Yeah. At first you're like, okay, what am I doing? But after you do it, you get into a routine. Then your mind gets free and anything that comes to you, accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it's your own mind, and it is probably, but it's also your higher self talking to you.
Okay.
So
relax yourself.
Yes.
Relax your body and your mind.
I mean, some people, it helps to take a guided meditation, and YouTube has a lot of really good guided meditations. Or if you don't want somebody talking and telling you when to breathe, there's a really good channel on YouTube called Meditative Mind,
mm-hmm.
and they have different frequency sound music
mm-hmm.
that they have it actually for like a 9-hour long video that you could have it as long as you want.
Yeah.
And there's no ads in it.
Okay, good.
And you could literally sit there if you need that. And certain frequencies aid in certain different things. You know, 432 hertz is the golden one. That's basically nature's frequency. So if you ever want to have just calmness, like let's say you had a hectic day, listen to 432 hertz.
Okay.
And just kind of sit in silence, dim the lights, and just sit there for as long as you need to. And when you don't have distractions, that's when information starts coming in. It's like a transmission.
Yes.
Coming in.
Okay.
You know,
rebooting yourself.
Yeah. You don't need to be, you know, like Madam so-and-so to be psych. Like that's all marketing. That's all sensationalism to make it seem like all this stuff is weird and kooky.
Right.
But we have to get our power back.
Yes.
And so I know I kind of sidetracked from the ghost thing.
Oh, that's
but
fine.
That's because there's really nothing to talk about in terms of ghosts in the way that you think of in Halloween and everything. They're
mm-hmm.
fun to think about like that. But those are religious entities, religious mindset entities. What they really are is just interdimensional beings that you happen to see and you can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
So the instant reaction is fear.
So what do you think of our loved ones or, you know, on the spirit side, because I don't really like the term ghost, but someone that's passed and that you feel their presence in your plane or your...
Well, you kind of always have them with you. You literally do, because what is your DNA made of? it's made of your ancestors. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the way I say that doesn't.
Yeah.
Basically, your ancestors are with you all the time because there's something called genetic memory. Mm-hmm. So if there's something like something, let's say that your ancestors went through, maybe there was like a lot of trauma or happy things. Somehow that kind of filters down to you and your existence, mm-hmm. and things that you can react to is based off of your genetic memory.
Yes.
That is part of you.
When you say that, it reminds me of an article I read about the impact slavery and mm-hmm. Genocides have on people mm-hmm. that are living today, mm-hmm. but those things might have happened years and years in the past, but they feel the people feel it still because of that very thing, that, you know, genetic yes. memory.
Yeah.
Because it's probably a vibration that's hard to shake.
Yes.
You know?
Well, it's partly genetic memory, and it's also actual memory, because people keep it alive mm-hmm. with the discussions and, you know, documentaries and whatever, just things that happen. Like, it's not forgotten on purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, when something's
covered up.
Or... Yeah, when those traumatic things happen, you know, it's worth it to just remember, but not remember. I mean, anger is part of it, obviously. But the important thing to remember, all of those things that happened in history that were very terrible, is so that it doesn't repeat again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another topic for another yes. day, because I could go into
it. Very
deep,
likely yeah. will. It is yeah. repeating.
Yeah. So... The thing that I want to mention is when, you know, your loved ones are always with you because genetically they're there. But another thing to keep in mind is you can always visit the astral realm. Or if you ever had a near-death experience, it opens up a lot more things for you to see that or understand that mm-hmm. you probably didn't in the normal life. Like,
okay,
you know, there's like drone life and then there's awakened life.
Yes.
And another person that kind of woke me up to another aspect of past life regression is a woman, the late Dolores Cannon. And some of you may have heard of her, but if you haven't, I recommend listening to some of the stuff that she has been recorded to talk about her clients. So basically, she's not a medium, but she was a therapist, psychology mm-hmm. therapist. And I think one day she had a client, if I remember correctly, that wanted to do past life regression. And so when she basically like hypnotized them, and they go into, you know, that hypnotized trance, and they talk about, you know, their life before living, like the mm-hmm. before being conceived, so to speak.
Okay.
Because there's a soul mm-hmm. involved. And that sounds religious, but that's because the newer religions take it from older knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, you can take it with a grain of salt, but just look at it without any judgment, and just think about the life or the soul that you had before coming into this realm, into this plane. And I recommend you to even Google just various quotes that she has been saying. And a lot of the quotes have been resonating with me. She says that every life that you live is a lesson, you know. And there's karma involved. And mm-hmm. then there's, you know, then there's like light bearers, where there's just people, souls that come to save humanity mm-hmm. and are not, and they don't have karma because they're only here for a short time to just bring humanity to a higher dimension.
Okay.
So anyways, the reason why I trust what she says is because she herself is just a scientist in therapy. She's not any psychic or anything,
mm-hmm.
but she's had a lot of clients that when they do past life regression, they are not related to each other, but they all say the same
oh,
thing.
Okay.
Basically.
There could be some truth.
So that means, like, how can everybody have the same concept of that when they don't even talk to each other?
Yeah.
You know, in the end, it makes you feel, it makes you ask questions about, like, what is actually God, mm-hmm. you know? And if you think about it, we are all one consciousness, but we all have different experiences, and that is part of our soul contract. Mm-hmm. And I ask you to, you know, Google what soul contracts are. But basically, it's some people remember, some people don't, or some people realize the life that they go through. They're like, this is probably my soul contract. And me, before I even thought about this kind of stuff, I always thought, oh, I'm in this room. And I have this visualized where I'm like, I'm in this room and I agreed with some entity that I'm going to have these experiences mm-hmm. because these experiences are going to teach me what I need to know to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, that helps me get through a lot of difficult things in my life. At this point, I let go of the burden and I have peace because the ultimate goal is to get to the peaceful Zen aspect of it. Clear your mind.
So thinking about it that way kind of lets you feel like, okay, this is supposed to happen. Let me just get through it.
See, religion is fear-based. Spirituality is love-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to focus on spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have a master controller. I don't want the God aspect separate of me because it never was.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been with us. You know, all of these groups try to beat it out of us, try to make us look outside, where we don't need any of that noise.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been with us. We could be on a deserted island and we won't have that alone feeling because we know what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We should know what we are. So that's what I got when I listened to a couple lectures of what she said. I mean, it was so deep because...
That's so interesting.
I'm at a point where I'd rather accept than deny.
Yeah.
Because look at the outcome. It gives you peace and less fear. I used to be scared of death.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not.
Okay.
And I also feel like I'm towards the end of my karmic cycle.
Okay.
You know, I feel like I don't want to be in this plane anymore.
Oh.
But okay, I'm probably going a little deep. But what I'm saying is sometimes you get, trust your instincts, trust your senses. Your higher self is basically another part of your consciousness. You know, when we are living, we have two, we're taught to believe that we're only just this one physical body, but mm-hmm. we have an astral body too. That's who we are. That instinct that we have is basically that remote version of us that is guiding us. Is think of us as like the remote control car,
mm-hmm.
you know? Who's controlling the remote control car? It's still ourselves.
Yes.
You know, our body is, I mean, for the sake of not trying to sound religious, but I want to say our body is that vessel. It's just a temporary vessel. But what's inside has always been and always will be. Like, we don't technically die.
Mm-hmm.
Our body does. And that can fall into religion. And there are some good aspects of religion.
Mm-hmm.
But they take those from the original concept of spirituality.
I see.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you have to be in a religious environment, just take the parts that you need. Because the parts that are putting you down
mm-hmm.
or trying to make you feel in, like, not as superior as you are, let that go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think there's something to this. And I'm not saying that I'm the absolute, but I'm just telling you what comes in my mind.
That's really, I've thought the same type of things myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, religion was kind of daunting, you know, growing up. I mean, it was, I don't blame my parents for putting me in, you know, the Catholic religion and doing CCD and having those traditions were good. But I think their thought was, you know, they wanted a community around us more than believing certain things, you know. Well, so
yeah, I mean, I think that I always, you know what, growing up, I had friends who went to church. And one thing that I did love, you know, she was a Christian church. I don't remember what aspect of Christianity, but but a couple of times I went with her, and I did like the togetherness, mm-hmm. the group, and just the camaraderie. Like you just kind of, you know, hang out with a group of people.
Yeah,
you know, you have social. Instant friends, social. I liked that aspect of it. And I think, you know, different religions have different intensities. You know, religions like Catholicism, I feel like, are a little bit more extreme, where you have to like repent and all those things. Islam, you know, is a little different. Aspects of Islam too is a little extreme with the whole like subservient attitude and stuff. And, you know, that's the part that I feel like is not natural to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to listen to our souls. And that's why I look more towards Eastern philosophies. And I don't call it religion. I don't call Buddhism religion. It's not a religion. You know, or Taoism. Those are more like philosophies or thoughts. And even themselves, like I think Buddha, or I think it was Buddha, or even some of the other people in those high status say, you know, don't worship me. You know, I'm not a god.
Mm-hmm.
They say that. Like, basically, good. They want to guide you to find your own true potential. Basically, you know, look deep within. Always, never forget yourself. And and realize that this realm is just a trial. Not a trial. That sounds religious. What I mean is, you know, this is just the life that you have. You need to just understand a way to get to a peaceful place.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's chaos around you, look at the chaos in a peace. It's just a
journey.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of the journey. It's a bump in the road. And those bumps teach.
Temporary. So.
Yeah. And everything that we go through teaches us to be a certain way. You know, even external forces, you know, what we allow is what we become. So if somebody is toxic to you and you just let it go, you know, you're just allowing that to be the house that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that be the house that you live in.
Good.
You know, build your house with the foundation of, you know, love, acceptance, understanding that we cannot control things that are out of our control.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. You know, that movie Frozen. Yeah, I look, this is the thing. Let me tell you.
Let it go.
Let me tell you, I look at movies with new eyes now. And I feel like that there's always a hidden message that these filmmakers, I don't know where they get their information from, but it's almost like they're giving you the truth in plain sight, but only those people who are willing to see it will see it. Mm-hmm. And other people will just look at the superficial stuff.
Right.
Whenever I look at Frozen, I see the whole frequency aspect, high and low frequency, you know, and the let it go is very profound. And just so you know, when I'm talking about this, when I know what I'm talking about is right, I get this tingling sensation. Like,
you
call it goosebumps.
Yes.
And I call that leveling up, because it's almost like you're the universe is saying, yes, you got to that point. You
right.
know, that's okay.
That's
you're like
reassurance.
You're like Super Mario getting the coin. So I just got the coin right now.
You can tell we have kids.
Frozen. Well, I used to play Super Mario.
Yeah, I do too. But Frozen's a good example, because that she comes from a lower vibration. She's denied her true self. Her powers are
hidden.
Look
at the shape. Well, look, beforehand, the shape of the snow. I mean, when she was having fun as a kid, it was fine. It was snow. But once she had that accident with Anna, everything's been negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had to hold her power back. And whenever it did come out, it came out very sharp and jagged.
Yeah.
You know, And then later when she found her peace and freedom where she's like letting it go and she goes and builds her crystal palace, mm-hmm. everything is so beautiful. Yes. The beautiful snowflake shape mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And so she's in her happy place and the snowflake shape represents positive high frequency. But as soon as the guy comes to like hunt her down and everything and she gets threatened, then the castle turns red and everything gets all jagged
yes.
and all that stuff. But then later towards the end, when, you know, she saves her sister and life is good again, everything is positive. The snowflake is the positive symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Japanese scientist, his name escapes me at the moment, but he did an experiment with water. Where basically he had like several jars, like two jars or three jars of water. And one of the jars, he would just say, you know, vulgar stuff, mean stuff. Another jar, or play like really bad music or something. Mm-hmm. And the other jar was everything was positive, happy. When you freeze them, one of them just turns into like a lumpy mass, and that's the negative one. The frozen one turns into crystals.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah. And even in ancient India and those Eastern places, a lot of times they chant into their water and drink it.
Okay.
And basically you're channeling the positive energies into the water. And when you put that in the water and then you consume it, then it manifests in you as well.
You know, and we are, what, 80-90% yes. water. So we should be doing that for ourselves.
Correct. That I wanted to touch on that too, is since we are majority water, we have to be very mindful of the frequencies. And that's why those meditation frequencies that I told you earlier are beneficial, because it moves the water in our body into those patterns, into those vibrations
mm-hmm.
in positive, uplifting manner. If you ever research the term cymatics. This is a study where there's like water on the surface, or even if it's not water, it's sand too, but it affects water.
Mm-hmm.
And you play a certain frequency sound, it creates something like a mandala.
Oh.
And there's like a bunch of different shapes, and I can share it on the page later. Different shapes because different frequencies.
Yes.
And when I saw that, what came to mind were the Gothic cathedral rose windows.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think that maybe these Gothic cathedrals in France or in mm-hmm. Europe and, you know, like Notre Dame and stuff,
mm-hmm.
Italy,
so beautiful.
Yes, they are Catholic now, but maybe they inherited it from an older ancient culture mm-hmm. that we have not been told.
Right.
That there have been healing, those are healing frequencies, and those temples are healing temples. That later religion kind of inherited it and changed some stuff around and then made it their own.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine, if you will, a Gothic cathedral has so much symbolism around it. Those trifoil shapes that looks like the clover
mm-hmm.
shape, those are actually different frequencies of cymatics.
I see.
Just imagine it, how it looks in sand when the sand is on the board, and every different frequency that comes creates a different shape.
Mm-hmm.
On the water dish, every frequency that comes creates those flower patterns.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting. Like, once you look at things in this way,
everything makes more sense.
The whole world opens up to you.
Yes.
And you realize, what have I been missing? We've been with horses with blinders all
yes.
our life. Take those blinders off.
Right.
The world is a lot more than they're telling us.
That might explain why whenever I'm in a church, I have two feelings. I have first, this is my old feeling of when I was a child of, okay, here we go.
Yes.
Structure, yes. daunting, you know,
yes.
all that. But then once I get over that, I feel a peace And I feel happy looking at the stained glass, looking at the symbols and the shapes. And I actually feel a little bit giddy because everything, I maybe in my body feels better because I'm just happy.
Well, you know what?
When I'm hearing a mass, I also just, or that's Catholic, you know, if I hear a mass or a preacher or whatever, wherever I'm at, even if I go attend something that's not that religion, I feel a bit of, you know, comfort, but also happy. And it could be a little bit inappropriate laughing during it happening. But it's like, you know, you get a little giddy. And depending on who you're with, you could vibe from each other. And well, it's just...
You know, there's several factors at play here. One factor is the frequency of the chanting. The other factor is the energy of all the souls around you coming together as one. When you're a congregation, you're one entity at this point. And Buddhist chanting is the same thing. And the feeling that you get from that resonance.
Yeah, high. I see. Oh, very interesting.
A lot more we can discuss.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much. Thank you. This has been a great, great episode, and I really enjoy talking with you. Julianne will come and join us one day to talk about this type of thing, too. She could put her experiences in an episode, and we could have, like, three people discussing our experiences and have an even more interesting conversation. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Shiva.
Anytime.
Make sure you do your millennial duty and spread the word, and we will have more listeners and we'll be able to make more content and give more episodes out. And also follow us on Instagram, Lipstick Laughs Podcast, and we have an email if you'd like to be on the podcast or would like to give suggestions. Please email lipstickandlaughspodcast@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you very much. Mwah.
This has been Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. If you'd like to be featured on our podcast, please reach out to us at lipstickandlaughspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week.